a lawsuit targeting a transgender student policy at Eau Claire Schools has been dismissed by a federal appeals court. We've made it to Friday. It's March 15th, and this is Wisconsin Today. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, voters in the city of Milwaukee will see a referendum question from Milwaukee Public Schools on the ballot next month, and a new documentary focused on the Bad River Band's fight for tribal sovereignty is now showing in select theaters. I'll be chatting with the film's director. Stay with us.
You tune in every weekday for your dose of local news on Wisconsin Today. You enjoy headlines with context as well as a longer story. This news is community supported. Join in with your gift at wpr.org/givewitoday.
A lawsuit targeting a transgender student policy at Eau Claire Schools has been dismissed by a federal appeals court. Rich Kramer reports a conservative Wisconsin law firm is considering an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court.
The lawsuit was filed in 2022 against the Eau Claire Area School District by a group of parents. They claim the district violated their constitutional rights because staff aren't required to notify parents if their child asks to change their pronouns or use different bathrooms. Last week, the federal Seventh Circuit Court of Appeals dismissed the case, saying the parents weren't impacted by the policy. School Board President Tim Nordine says in almost every instance, transitioning students already have parental support.
These students are not wanting to be alone. We're going to continue to support our trans students. We're going to continue to support each student, regardless of who they are, in the best ways that we can.
The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty represented the parents and says it's considering next steps. Rich Kramer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
A small city in western Wisconsin fell victim to a wire fraud scheme last year, but now officials say they've recovered more than $2 million in stolen funds. Chetek is a city of around 2,000 people about 40 miles north of Eau Claire. In November, scammers posed as the contractor building the city's new wastewater treatment plant. They used a wire transfer scheme to steal $2.6 million from the city. City Administrator Laura Stelzner says they alerted state and local police, along with the FBI, but they needed to borrow money to make up the loss.
So we then had to secure a loan to be able to continue paying our contractor to make sure there weren't any interruptions with our wastewater treatment project.
This month, Stelzner says city leaders were shocked to learn the full amount had been recovered. An FBI report says there were more than 300,000 similar cases reported worldwide last year. The Wisconsin Supreme Court has ruled that a Catholic Charities agency in Superior must pay into the state's unemployment insurance program. The charitable arm of Superior Catholic Diocese argued it was exempt from paying unemployment tax.
Superior-based Catholic Charities Bureau says it's exempt because it operates primarily for religious purposes, but the court's liberal majority said services provided by the agency and others weren't expressly religious. Catholic Charities plans to appeal the ruling to the U.S. Supreme Court. Nick Reeves is an attorney representing the agency.
Concluding that Catholic Charities Bureau is not religious is like saying the Packers aren't a football team. It's absurd and doesn't make sense.
Catholic Charities and its entities run more than 60 programs that provide services to people who are aging, low income, or living with disabilities. An attorney with the Freedom From Religion Foundation says it's part of a larger theme among religious groups seeking to be exempt from state laws. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Milwaukee Public Schools will ask voters on April 2nd to increase funding for schools by more than $250 million over the next 4 years. MPS officials say they're facing a $200 million budget shortfall in 2025. That's largely due to the expiration of federal pandemic relief dollars, inflation, and enrollment losses. Sarah Shaw is with the Wisconsin Policy Forum. She says Milwaukee's not alone. 84 Wisconsin school districts have referenda on the April ballot.
MPS stands out compared to those other districts simply because of the size and how much money it is asking for. But all of these districts are operating in a context in which state revenue limits haven't kept pace with inflation.
If approved, the owner of a $200,000 home in Milwaukee would see a tax increase of about $400. Coming up, the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa have fought for years to protect their lands. Coming up, I'll be chatting with the film director of Bad River, a new documentary detailing the band's legacy of standing up and fighting for their treaty rights. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
For almost 5 years, the Bad River Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, has been engaged in a legal battle with Canadian energy firm Enbridge. The tribe wants to shut down the company's oil and gas pipeline on tribal lands. They fear erosion near its Line 5 pipeline could lead to an oil spill in nearby waters and Lake Superior. A new documentary called Bad River chronicles the tribe's ongoing fight for sovereignty. Mary Mazio is the film's director. Mary, the film gives a history of the Bad River Band to the present day and their fight to protect their lands and preserve their culture over time. Can you tell us a little bit more about that and why it was important for you to make this film?
So it's a story about this really small group of people, the Bad River people, who much of America probably has never heard of the Bad River Band. And they are, with really monumental effort, trying and fighting to protect a resource, Lake Superior, which is one of the world's most precious resources in terms of freshwater drinking water. And they're doing it for all of us, and really at considerable cost to themselves. And so, and it's really an extraordinary story of resilience, of resistance. And as one band member said to me, you know, win, lose, or draw, we're going to stand up for what we believe in, and we're going to fight the good fight.
One of the parts of the film that I found very, very interesting was the walleye wars that happened in northern Wisconsin during the late 80s and early 90s. Can you tell us a little bit about what happened there and why it was such a pivotal moment for Ojibwe tribes like the Bad River?
You know, in the course of making this film, what was interesting was we were originally going to focus on the case itself and the challenges with the pipeline operator. But Bad River tribal members wanted to talk about much more than that, including the walleye wars. And really, this was a fight over treaty rights. And it was actually a Bad River member who filed a case early on before the walleye wars erupted, because he was arrested for fishing on Lake Superior. And he challenged it, saying, look, we have a treaty from 1854 that clearly articulates the right to hunt, fish, and gather, period, full stop. And so this was pivotal in many, many ways for the band in terms of not only thinking about their treaty rights, but going on into the future. Although this was a fight that certainly is not isolated, right? Because before the walleye wars, you have band members talking about standing up to forces around the Catholic school on the reservation. And then before that, the taking of land. And before that, the taking of culture. And so the walleye wars is one element in the storytelling of the history of the Bad River Band.
When we're talking about the walleye wars, one of the things that gets brought up quite a bit are those protests at the boat landings. And then going forward after that, how did those events change how Indigenous history and, more importantly, treaty rights are seen and understood around the state of Wisconsin?
I think certainly the case itself made it very clear that tribal members have the right to hunt, fish, and gather. And I think in the course of history, one of the reasons why it was important was the recognition of treaty rights, which, by the way, began long before. And you see the eruption of after the relocation period in the 50s, right? You have brutality on the streets and police brutality and Indigenous leaders really thinking about way, this is completely unfair. Our land has been taken, our rights have been taken. And the walleye wars, frankly, I think are just a chapter in that ongoing struggle to fight for treaty rights of all kinds.
And the latest fight in that chapter would be what was focused on in the film. Now, that Line 5 pipeline that the Bad River Band says they want it to be shut down and removed. Can you tell us how that pipeline got built there in the first place and why this is now an issue?
The pipeline was installed in the 50s, and it was shortly after oil was discovered in Leduc, Canada. And the Interprovincial Pipeline Company, which is the predecessor to Enbridge, needed to figure out a way to bring oil from Western Canada to Eastern Canada. And it, you know, we went back and looked at some of the old corporate documentation. The reason the line actually came down into the United States, went under the Great Lakes, and then went back to Canada was because it was cheaper, it was easier, you had fewer permitting requirements, and the terrain was more forgiving. Now, fast forward from 1953, when the line was installed across the reservation, to today. The line is now 70 years old, and there's a juncture in the Bad River where she's changing her course, and she's headed straight for the pipeline. The lower court judge in this case found that the risk of rupture was so great that it could happen with the next flood. When that line was put in 1953, Alex, it was about 300 and maybe 50 feet away from the water's edge. Today, it's 11. So the erosion is happening. Mother Nature is doing her job. And what hangs in the balance could be catastrophic to Lake Superior.
So that the judge, or federal judge, has ordered that Line 5 has to be shut down on the tribe's lands within the next 3 years. But obviously that's being appealed. How are you hearing from tribal members about how they're feeling now about how things are playing out in court?
It's really difficult. An open letter to the band was just published. So it's public knowledge that the band has been offered $80 million to settle the lawsuit. And the current chairman has responded saying our treaty rights are not for sale. Obviously, there's an extraordinary amount of pressure on this small community. And the fact that they would turn down $80 million to safeguard this precious resource is jaw-dropping in many ways. And if more of us, myself included, Alex, would act less sort of rugged individualist American and thinking more of community and others, that would be amazing.
Mary Mazzio is the director of Bad River. The film comes out today and can be viewed in select theaters across the country. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producers today, you know them, the people putting the show together behind the scenes, they were Mallory Chang and John Davis. Hey, do us a favor this weekend. Tell a friend about the show if you appreciate it. We appreciate your support so much. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.